This is the Alien UFO Podcast, episode 118, and I'm your host, Simon Bowen. My mission here at the Alien UFO Podcast is to investigate all things that are part of the wider UFO phenomena. I'm looking at UFO sightings, alien abduction, historic cases, and other related events. And if you want to hear the extended version of this interview, please join the Patreon campaign, and you can get a 7-day free trial where you can access more than the 100 episodes in the back catalogue. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. This week I'm talking to Michael Allens about his book, Alien Revelations. As well as writing Alien Revelations, Michael is the author of the book, How to Build a Flying Saucer, A Beginner's Guide to Gravity Amplification Systems. Michael has been an alien abductee since childhood. Hi Michael, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So we're going to be talking about your book. It's called Alien Revelations. Could you tell us, what is your earliest memory of these encounters?
Well, that's quite a murky one, because I think my earliest memories come from when I was a toddler. But they're very vague, like, for example, I remember climbing out of my cot. I think it was while I was still in the cot. But I remember just having some kind of, it was almost like a draw, sort of like an instinct to just go out into the garden. Like I was, I don't know, it was just, I don't know what motivated me or why, but I remember sneaking out of my bedroom, going downstairs and going out into the garden. And the last thing I really remember is just seeing an object floating over the house above me. And then the memory just ends. But it's so far back. I think I can't even remember if I was in a cot or a bed. I feel like I was in a cot. It's the older the memories go, the murkier they get. But the really clear one that really stuck out with me was when I was about, I want to say 8 years old, maybe 10. Basically, I remember laying in my bed and having a conversation with myself, which sounds really strange. But unlike a normal, just internal dialogue, it was an actual conversation. I was getting answers that I wasn't expecting. So basically, the way the conversation was going, I was laid in bed. I was posed the question, would I like to meet a spaceman? And at the time, as a child, I just thought, oh, I've got an imaginary friend. This is great. Because <You know? laughs> I just thought that was a normal thing. Because I had friends that had imaginary friends. And obviously, they were portrayed in the media, those kids like, on TV with imaginary friends. So I just thought, oh, I've got an imaginary friend. This is great. So I answered back, only if the spaceman isn't scary. And then I got asked, well, what would you consider not scary? So then I imagined, I was a big fan of Monster Munch crisps, and the TV adverts for Monster Munch are these big Muppet creatures. So I imagined that. I just said, oh, one of these. And as I imagined it, I had this incredibly vivid vision of a Monster Munch as I remember seeing it on TV. And I remember at the time thinking, well, that's actually quite scary, because it was so real. So then I changed my answer to an Ewok from Star Wars, which really dates it. Because I think the reason I got that image was because it was on TV adverts at the time for the toys for the movie. So it would have placed it around 1983. So yeah, I had that image. And then I just got the answer back, well, come to your window and have a look. So I climbed out of bed, walked to my window, whipped back the curtains, and then floating just outside my bedroom window, about probably 20 feet off the ground, was a grey, as we completely recognised them from like the media. It was just one of these creatures. And at the time, I had no idea what it was because I'd never seen anything like it. So my reaction was just instant fear, just horror. And then the memory just ends, just cuts out. Like, so I remember being gripped with absolute panic and then waking up the next day, which is a familiar, as time's gone on, it's a very regular occurrence. I remember quite often the start of my abductions and then just waking up the next day, which makes it quite easy to dismiss. But at the time, when I saw this creature, I knew it was absolutely real. I knew I'd had a real experience meeting this thing. So the next day, I remember pulling all my mother's wildlife books out and trying to find this strange creature that I remembered seeing. Because in my mind, it was like some kind of like owl monkey, is the best way I could describe it. Because right. I remember seeing the arms and the legs, so thinking, oh, it's some kind of like ape or something. But it was flying, so, and it had these big giant black eyes. I remember thinking, well, maybe he's like a barn owl. So I was just leaping through trying to find this creature. But obviously I never found it. But I was convinced that I'd seen something. So, but I was trying to rationalise it at the time as some kind of like strange wildlife I'd just never encountered up till that point. But yeah, that's probably the memory that really, really stuck with me, because obviously in later years, when I actually did learn about greys and aliens and things like that, I recognised it. I'm like, yeah, I know what that is. It's my owl monkey. So in the 90s, I started to have a bit of a shift where I sort of began to realise that this new phenomenon in the media, this alien abduction, maybe I had some experience with it. Also, all the way back through childhood, I had bouts of sleep paralysis. At the time, I had no idea what sleep paralysis was. In fact, I thought maybe I had epilepsy or something like that, because to my mind, that's what it felt like. Because I just remember waking up without any awareness of my body. Quite often, I'd heard loud noises, like drumming sounds, like a pulsing kind of, like hailstones on a tin roof kind of sounds. And there'd be flashing light as well. So I just assumed, well, maybe it's epilepsy or something like that. So I remember as a young kid actually wanting to experience it just so I could actually get a grip on it and analyze it to some degree. And I remember on one occasion waking up paralyzed, going, okay, let's see where this goes. And then seeing creatures walking around my room and being lifted from my bed. And in that moment, thinking, I can't believe how stupid I've been to want this occurrence to happen. Because obviously, to me, I was expecting just to like be paralyzed, have it ease off, and then I'd be able to understand it a little bit better. But obviously, it didn't go that way. It went a lot scarier really quickly.
I wanted to ask you about somebody, one of the, you call them visitors, don't you?
Yeah.
You encounter this, you call them the wrinkled brown being. Can you tell us who that is? Because it kind of developed over time, didn't it? That it was more, that you were kind of familiar with them and felt safer with them. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, with that particular creature, yeah. Yeah, my first real memory of that being, I was probably about, I want to say 13, and I remember waking up. Well, no, I was just laid in my bed. Yeah, I think it was just like a lazy Sunday. I was just laid in my bed, and a vision of that being just appeared in my mind, just clear as a bell. Just I remember seeing it with its, like, looking really angry with its mouth open. And at the time, I had no idea what it was. But I was able to dismiss it quite easily because, to me, it looked like a mix of different creatures from media, because it had a ridged forehead. So I thought, oh, that's a Klingon from Star Trek. And but it had the black eyes and sort of the heart-shaped head. So I thought, well, it's just, I've made that up. It's just come from my subconscious. But then so years later, I underwent hypnotic regression, and I began to learn that it was a reoccurring character in my abductions. And not only that, it was completely different to the greys. It communicated a lot more like a human. It had personality. It had a sense of humour. And actually, I mean, physically, it was very scary because it looked, I call it a wrinkled brown, it actually looks mummified. Its skin's like very wrinkly and almost like it looks desiccated. So yeah, I mean, physically very scary. But through the regressions, I learned I actually really like this person, this being, because he had a way of sort of removing my fear. He a way of talking to me where it was just like a familiar friend. But yeah, I don't have a name for this creature, but in later years, as an adult, when I saw this being, I was like, oh, thank God. You know, I'm in good hands now. Whereas with the greys, the very, it's hard to explain. They're very mechanical, very efficient, very quick, but not very caring, if you know what I mean. It's very, like, the start of an abduction, I wake up paralyzed, they enter the room, lift me from the bed, and then get me out of the house as quick as possible. There's no real communication with them. It's just, I can quite often sense a bit of emotion coming from them, like urgency, feelings like that, or just like, I remember an encounter I had in the 90s where one just entered the room, my bedroom, and just seemed to do something with my paralysis and then leave. And I remember feeling a sense of, this creature feels really put upon. He wishes he weren't here. He's on his own and he's got to get this business done and leave. So there's a little bit more contempt with the greys. And I don't mean... Sorry, go on.
The grey behaving like that, it almost sounds like you've finished your day's work and you're tired, right? Yeah. I'm going to go home now. And then your boss says, oh, I need you to do this thing before you go.
Exactly that. That's absolutely, yeah, that's a very good explanation. Yeah, it was just like that. It was because that particular, in fact, I'll talk you through that particular encounter because it's bizarre. But it was when I first moved out of home and I was living in my first house alone, I had an attic bedroom. And it was probably one of the first nights that I was staying in this house. And I had my girlfriend with me, and I had a cat, Finbar, and the bedroom I was in, it was all wooden floors and wooden stairs up to the bedroom, and I remember waking up and paralyzed, and at this point, it was shortly after I'd realized how I was being abducted as a kid, so I knew to be scared if certain things occurred. So I remember waking up completely paralyzed. I'm like, oh no, is this an abduction? And so I'm laid in bed paralyzed and I'm listening and I'm just keeping an eye out for anything that occurs. And I remember seeing light from downstairs being cast up the stairs into the attic bedroom, and a panic starts setting in then. The light goes away, but then I hear footsteps coming up the steps. And I'm in blind panic now. And I'm watching the top of the stairs for what comes up. And I remember seeing my worst fears at first. I remember seeing the head of a grey coming up the stairs. And then it blurred out and it became my cat, Finbar. I'm like, oh, thank God, it's Finbar. So I remember the watching my cat come to the top of the stairs, sit under my bedroom window, and then just sit and watch me. And this occurred for about 10 minutes. And while I'm looking at my cat, my paralysis keeps fluctuating, like gripping me. The sounds that I'm hearing keep changing in tone, and my vision keeps blurring out. Eventually, my cat just gets up and then bumps down the stairs. And then my paralysis lifts. So I'm like, what the hell was all that about? So I start to move. And as I move, my cat's sleeping on my legs. And then he stirs. And I'm like, oh my God, that was not Finbar. So then I realize my girlfriend's in bed with me. So I try to wake her up. And as I open my mouth and try to make sound, nothing comes out. It's as if someone switched off my vocal cords. I can breathe, air's coming in and out. There's no hoarseness. There's just no sound coming out of my mouth. So to try and trigger the noise, I make an ah noise, like a yell. And as I'm making the, or trying to work the muscle to make the sound, it suddenly just cuts in. So suddenly I just go, ah, like, just out of nowhere. My girlfriend stares. Well, are you okay? And I just said, I've just had a bad dream. Yeah, don't worry about it. Because I didn't want to have to explain to her what had just happened. So that was the memory as it was at that point. And then about probably a couple months later, I actually underwent hypnotic regression and found out that the appearance of my cat was actually a screen memory, which at the time I didn't know that's how screen memories worked. I thought screen memory was when you think back on the event, you see something different. But actually during the event I was seeing, so it was almost like a disguise that occurred at the time. At the time I remember thinking it's my cat. So that was news to me. But actually, what actually happened is that the creature came to the top of the stairs, sat down at the top of the stairs, and he had like an iPad, which back in 95 did not exist. And it had like a wand, like a stylus. It was holding the stylus up, like almost like an aerial, sort of waving it around, and it was tapping at the iPad. And while it was doing this, my paralysis was kind of shifting, changing and gripping me in different ways. And then eventually it just seemed satisfied, got up and then went back down the stairs. And all the while it's doing all this, I get this sense of, I really don't want to be here. From the creature, like, why am I doing this? You know what I mean? Why am I on my own? This is unacceptable. And then he just left. But yeah, that's the memory. It was, but yeah, bizarre.
And you feel that this was linked to an out-of-body experience you had?
Yeah, literally. It's one of the first nights in my house. My girlfriend was away for a week in Germany. And because I was freshly moved out of my parents' house, I didn't know how to live. Because I was a student at the time and my grant hadn't arrived yet and I was trying to claim money and nothing was coming through. So I had absolutely nothing, no money to like buy groceries and things like that. So I was basically starving. So I think I had like £5 to survive through a week. And because I was an idiot at the time, I bought coffee and bacon and the bacon ran out within a day. So I was doing an experiment where I was just trying to sleep as long as humanly possible. I thought, if I can sleep through this week, I won't be as hungry. So I was living on coffee and trying to sleep, which is not a good plan. So I remember basically I slept through a day and then about 4 a.m., maybe 5 a.m., I woke up just completely alert. And I'm like, I need to sleep. You know, I need to get through. So I was just laying in bed, just trying to sleep. And, well, it wasn't even in bed. It was actually on my living room floor because like, I'd only just moved into this place. And, yeah, I was laid there and I just felt the room start to spin. But, like, normally when a room spins, it's horizontal. It's like a, you know, like a roundabout, it just spins around. But for me, it was spinning vertically. And it was as if my head was going back through the floor and my feet were coming up. And it just got stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I was just, while it was occurring, I just thought, I'm just going to go with this and just see what happens. So I almost encouraged it. And sort of like, I was like a kid on a swing, I was sort of pushing it to go faster. And it got to a point where I felt like I was in a spin dryer. I was just spinning so fast. It was really, really, you know, disorientating. So I decided to stop. And the way I sort of tried to stop myself is I imagined myself, as my head's going through the floor, Because that's what it felt like. I thought, just grab the floor as it goes past. And as I did that, I felt myself get catapulted forward, but out of my body. And it was completely vivid and completely real. It was as if reality sort of got turned up a notch. Because it was just a completely raw experience. And the only way I could describe it is as if my consciousness was just the size of a golf ball. And it had just been fired from my forehead and just catapulted across the room. And as I'm flying forwards, I just thought to myself, stop. And as I thought that, I just stopped dead. And the room itself seemed to be lit in like a white silvery light. The air seemed to be moving like static on a TV screen. And I could hear sounds as well. It sounded like there was an argument going on outside. And I also heard a voice literally say into my ear, obviously, or my ball or whatever I was, oh, you're really kicking ass now, which was just out of the blue, which is bizarre. And that panicked me. And I just had the thought, get back in your body. And then I was in my body. There was no moving through space to get into my body. I was just suddenly, laid on the floor again. And as I opened my eyes, I realized the room's actually completely pitch black. Oh, and one of the last things I saw before this occurred, because I sort of span round to see what the noise was, I remembered seeing a black mass on a little kitchen chair I had in the living room with a tail hanging down. And I thought that was a cat. And I remember seeing this, I'm like, is that a ghost of a cat? Or, you know what I mean? I remember being completely panicked and freaked out by it. So when I woke up on the floor and sat up, and then the room was in complete pitch blackness, which was bizarre because obviously as I was out of body, I could see the room was completely lit in silvery light. So I got up, ran to my light switch, turned the light on, and then I remembered seeing this cat. So I looked to see where the cat was, and it was my dressing gown with the belt hanging down, which from the angle I remembered seeing it from, looked completely like a cat. And so to me at that moment, I'm like, oh, that was definitely a real experience because the room was completely pitch black. So I wouldn't have been able to see it anyway if I'd have sat up and looked at it from the angle. And it's the illusion was perfect from that specific angle from where I remembered seeing it. So to me, it was a mind-blowing experience because it was confirmation that there's more to reality than just, the physical, just consciousness and awareness and life. It was just earth-shattering in that moment.
So you feel that this grey that came to your house disguised as your cat was doing something because you had the out-of-body experience. It was like they were checking you out or something.
Yeah, and it was literally like a week after that had occurred. So, yeah, I felt like it was very, very connected. And also the voice that you're really kicking ass now, it felt like it was connected to them in some way. It might have even been the brown fella because he would drop little things like that in conversation. To humanize himself in some way, So it felt like maybe that was him, just communicating with me. And then about a week after that, I had another abduction where during the regression, it actually seemed like they were trying to encourage another out of body experience. I don't know what the time, how long it was after, because this is all back in 1995, so it's a long time ago. But basically, my girlfriend's parents had gone on holiday, so they wanted us to look after the house while they were gone. We were house-sitting for them, and because my girlfriend's old bedroom had a single bed, we decided to sleep downstairs on the living room floor. And where her parents lived as well, it's quite isolated. It's like on top of a moor in the middle of nowhere. And I remember just waking up in the middle of the night on her bedroom floor, No, living room floor, sorry. And just seeing three figures stood above me, one of them being the drown. And just at the time, feeling weirdly reassured, not scared, just kind of like, oh, these guys. It was really weird. There's a weird thing I've noticed with abductions as well, is if they can make eye contact with you, they can remove a lot of fear, which is really, really bizarre. But if you just see them in the corner of your room, that's when the panic sets in. So the quicker they can get to your face, I feel like they can exert a kind of control over you to a degree, where it's they can sort of remove a lot of your panic. So basically, yeah, I remember waking up, seeing these creatures, and they lifted me off the floor, out through the window, and above the house there was a giant, I'd say stadium-size disc-shaped craft. I remember zooming up to it through a hatch underneath it, being undressed in like a room just on the other side of this hatch. So you go in through the hatch, and then it's like at the bottom of a cone-shaped ramp. So like you've got the hatch in the middle, and you've got a cone. So we walked up the cone, and then at the edge of the room, there was like a bench around the edge of the room. So they undressed me, and left my clothes on the bench, and then they led me down a corridor, and then through this corridor there was another giant room, and it was kind of lit with like spotlights in the ceiling, and it was full of different beings. Like different varieties of beings. One of the most notable was an insectoid mantis-looking creature. There's also it's like a really tall reptile, but not like, because you see reptilians in the media. This thing was like, it was like a cross between a horse and a crocodile. Stood on its hind legs. It was about 9 feet tall. It had a long neck and like a horse-like face, but it was clearly a reptile. Those little tiny white guys, they were about 2 foot tall, maybe between a foot and 2 foot tall, with little white eyes. It was just full of this menagerie of beings. I remember being led through and placed on a bench. And the bench was under like a big screen. It was almost like a cinema screen, but it was curved. I don't really remember what was on the screen. I don't know if it was blurry or if I just didn't look. Maybe I was distracted. And then once they laid me on the bench, there was like a retractable cover that sort of came over me. Like not like a blanket, more like a lid to a box. So it sort of just came up to just sort of round about my collarbone. Sort of just, you know, so it moved up from my feet up to just above, just below my neck kind of thing. And I remember the feeling spinning happening again. So had occurred during my out-of-body experience. And I remember in that moment realising, oh, they're trying to induce another out-of-body experience. So there's a little bit of me was thinking, let's just do it. Let's just go with it and see what happens. But then as it's occurring, I'm realising there's all these terrifying-looking creatures like the mantis and the giant lizard guys, and that the fear of them sort of like held me back in my body, because I started thinking, you know, what if this is something sinister? What if they want to eat my soul or something, you know? And that held me back in my body. The memory sort of ends there, because all this came from my second regression with Eric Morris from Bufos. And at that moment, as I'm feeling the spinning and I'm actually realizing I don't want to leave my body, my girlfriend actually came home from work and just disrupted the regression, and it ends there, basically. So I have no more memory of that event, but it was extremely vivid. In fact, it was so vivid during the regression, I was actually concerned during the regression I might have another out-of-body experience, which when I told Eric that, he was like, oh, yeah, let's not do that. Because he didn't know. Because obviously, from his point of view, what if my heart stops or something? So yeah, he wasn't so keen on that idea. But yeah, that was quite an experience. That one for me, it was fascinating during the regression, because I had no memory of these meeting these beings, because all my memories from the regression, not me, the abductions from that point had all been in the first couple, like maybe the first minutes of an abduction, the moment when I remember seeing them come into the room. And then as soon as they get within range of me, and, you know, I do have memories of being lifted from the bed, but then it kind of ends. So yeah. I remember seeing a lot of greys and the occasional brown. But during Eric's regression, I just saw this zoo of different shapes and sizes. And yeah, for me, that was fascinating. But yeah, that was quite an experience.
Well, I wanted to ask you about something that happened with the brown being, where you were led into a room on the spacecraft that looked like a traditional English classroom. The thing is, it seems so bizarre. Why would they create a traditional English classroom?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But the worst thing was, it wasn't a traditional classroom as I would recognise it. So it was clearly a set that they had, or I'm guessing had for quite a long time, because the desks looked like the desks from, like, I don't know, the 1950s or something. They were like wooden desks with inkwells and a liftable lid, and the seats were part of the desk. Whereas when I was a kid, it was all plastic and formica. It was just, because I grew up in the 80s, so to me it was completely unfamiliar. But yeah, I don't really remember much of the beginning of the abduction, but I do remember just being led through a corridor and then turning right into this room. But in the corridor itself, there was a wooden door, like a classroom door, like on a, like everything else was like molded metal. It was like, it was almost organic looking. It was like a metallic corridor with ribs and no apparent lighting, yet it was lit. And then I remember just turning right and it was just this wooden door, and then they led me into the room, and it had a wooden floor, square walls, painted square walls, and there's even a window with fields outside, which was like, that must have been some kind of illusion or something. I don't know how that worked, but it was like a sunny day outside. And I'm led into this room, and there's a chalkboard at the front of the room on my left, and in front of it is the brown being wearing monk's robes, and I remember he had a staff as well, like a big walking stick kind of thing, and he's just stood, and I'm instantly terrified, because this occurred when I was a little kid, and he's, to me, a terrifying looking creature. And as I'm led into the room, he reacts. I can hear its voice in my head, and he's saying to me, well, why do you find me so scary? You know, you get this opportunity to meet beings from another world, or something like that, and you react with fear. This is ridiculous. What's wrong with you? And then he started thinking things, well, not thinking things, saying things like, because it was all in, it was in my head kind of thing, so I could hear his voice, but it was all in my head. But he's saying things like, You're just a stupid monkey. You know, this is, you know, and he started throwing these insults at me, but they're getting more and more immature and silly. And I could feel myself getting angry at this being. It's like, I didn't ask for any of this. What am I even doing here? And now he's just shouting these insults at me. So, and as he's doing it as well, his mouth is like puppeting the sounds that are in my head, like he's actually saying them, but he's also making noises as well, and the noise is like, like that, and he just looks really stupid. And I just, because I was so angry, I'm like, you brought me, it's not my fault. And I started throwing some insults back at him, and as I do it, he starts laughing, and I'm like, what the hell is happening? And then I started laughing, and then he explained to me, look, your fear is not, we can't remove your fear and without affecting you, you know, it's, he wanted to talk to me rather than controlling me and having me be something else. He wanted to get rid of my fear, and he explained that fear is like an egg. So you're the I can't remember exactly how he explained it, but basically you're a chicken and egg, and the way and your fear is like the shell of an egg. And if we broke the shell, we you kill the chick. So the way to get the chick out of the egg is with just heat and love. And well, for you. To get rid of the fear that we've got you through into anger and from anger to humour, and to get you to break through your own shell of fear. And I just, the explanation was just phenomenal. And instantly I was like, I like this guy. Because he just explained it like a real, like a doctor almost. Like, you know, you're about to go under some kind of, under the knife, and they explain the procedure to you, and it removes a lot of the fear. And he just broke it down. It's like, no, this is what I'm doing. This is why I did that. And then from there, we left the classroom, and he just took me around the craft. And I found this whole thing just totally fascinating. But then just before the end of the abduction, he just turns to me and says, oh, would you like to have sex? And at the time, I think I was probably about 7 or 8. And I was just like, no. You know what I mean? I was just completely shocked. I was like, what the hell did this question come from? And for me, that one moment just ruined the whole experience. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then it was like, yeah, that's fine. And then they just led me back to the exit room, or, you know, the chamber where I get dressed. And that was the end of the abduction. They just, you know, dressed me and set me back in my own bed in my bedroom at home. But that question stuck with me. Like, it was just, it scared me more than anything else, was just this, what's the interest in sex? You know what I mean? It's to a child as well. It really freaked me out. But that was that experience.
Wasn't there a point when you were on your way out where you kind of briefly looked in a room and there was a human on a table in there?
Yeah. And that was a whole experience, because he just asked this question as well at that point. And I remember I felt this weird kind of privilege in that I wasn't on the table. I was sort of with this guy who was being friendly and just giving me a tour of the ship. But then I felt almost completely like I was somehow sort of like taking part in this other person's nightmare. You know, like I was some kind of, not just a witness, like I was somehow causing their misery, you know? And I just felt horrible. From that point on, the whole experience just felt horrible, just because I felt guilty from not being on the table like this person was, and also just completely skeeved out by this question. It was a bizarre experience, because it starts out like, you know, scary. And then I get into this like little well of comfort where it's like, oh, it's okay. This guy's here and he's friendly. And then it just went back to like, no, there's something really sinister. You know, it was a roller coaster.
And also I was interested to read about what seemed to be visits to the brown being's planet, and it was almost like you got the impression he was proud to show off these buildings and things.
I don't know how that works though, because I don't think I was on their homeworld, but I do have a memory of when they've shown me an illusion that's become kind of real. So I'll just explain that one first. Basically, I remember just, it was just a standard abduction. I remember being on a bench, sitting up after they'd done some kind of procedure on me. And then they sort of led me to the center of the room, and they showed me, it was like an image floating in the air. And it was of a town that had been completely decimated. It was, the air was thick with smoke, all the buildings were wrecked, there was fires everywhere. And as I'm looking at this image, it expanded and then surrounded me. And then suddenly I looked down and I'm studying grass and I could smell the smoke from the fires. And I was suddenly there. I could feel the wind on my face. It was completely realistic. And so I feel like that's maybe what they've done with, you know, when I've seen other worlds. But I don't remember that occurring. I just remember being in these strange places. Like, so the Browns' homeworld, I remember seeing a city that they were leading me through. And it's like the buildings looked kind of Victorian. There was sort of like, I don't know if it's sandstone, like some kind of brownstone with sort of rounded sort of like arched windows. And I remember having a vision of it from the outside, and it's like a disc shaped city. But then there's like a temple sort of suspended above the center of it, sort of like almost like a roulette wheel. So you've got this structure that's sort of like suspended above it, and it's supported by four bridges that sort of like move from the outside and then sort of like hold it in place. And another memory of that as well, I think on a different abduction, it was a completely different city. And this one was in some mountains, and it was kind of like a well, but with buildings lining the outside of the well. So it was like a huge, sort of like a core sample kind of hole. It was just a perfect cylinder into the top of this mountain. And then over the middle of it, there's sort of a bridge that extends to like halfway. And then at the end of the bridge, there's a tower. And it was just bizarre. It was a structure that you just wouldn't imagine. You just couldn't really, why would you build something like this? And it's like, there's lots, I mean, he showed me look like viaducts that just go across mountain ranges, but they look like really, really old structures. But they're colossal, actually, just like half a mile high as they cross these valleys. Another one where it was like a building and it was on the end of a spar. So there's these cliffs on his homeworld, and then this path just diverts off from the cliffs, but it's on this little sliver of rock. And at the end of the rock, there's this big building. And for some reason, they're just like building these follies that sort of seem to play with gravity. And you just, but yeah, he was generally really proud. Their homeworld is quite cold. I remember the roulette wheel city. It was just a snowy plain with mountains in the distance. But then in the city, there's no snow falling in the city, but outside the city, it could be like the Arctic. You know, you could be in Antarctica. But yeah, it was just yeah. I don't know because I remember just these memories being completely real, but I don't think I was actually there. I think it was an illusion thing, like the seeing the little town where it was all just completely wrecked. I feel like it might have been something like that, but I don't have a proper explanation for it. I just have these memories of these places, completely vivid and completely real. I just don't know how they begin or end. I just have them.
Another thing is that personally, I look at these ETs, these visitors, like the Greys, and I think, man, they must be so clever because they can build these craft that can travel amongst the stars. Mm. But there was a thing you talk about in the book where you swap the door handles round on your bedroom door or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I find this one absolutely fascinating because it sort of gets into the psychology of the Greys. So basically, when after my second child was born, when he was a toddler, basically, I don't want to give his real name. I can't remember what name I put in the book. But he basically, when he was a toddler, after sleeping in his own bed, like a couple of months after like settling in his own bed, he started to develop this habit of just getting up in the middle of the night and then climbing into our bed. which became a bit of a problem because I was a baker at the time and I was having to wake up at like 4 a.m. So I really needed my sleep because I was doing like 12-hour days. And so we kept trying to, so he'd come into the room and I'd have to lead him back into his own bed. And, but it just kept happening again and again because I think occasionally, because I was so tired, I'd just be like, oh, it's fine. Just stay in bed with him. It's fine. And because I'd relented those few times, he kept doing it. So I looked online to like find solutions and someone had posted on a forum like one trick they'd done is they'd taken the door handle and they'd turned it upside down. And the way you do that is you just take the door handles from the sides of the doors and you switch them around. So the one on the inside is now on the outside and the one on the outside is now on the inside. And to get them to face the right way, they turn upside down. So to open the door then, you have to lift the handle rather than push it down. And the plan was I'd hear him rattling the door, I'd get out of bed and I'd lead him back to his own room. And then he'd learn, oh yeah, it's not going to work anymore. I'm just going to stay in my own bed. And it worked. It worked like a treat. So when it worked, basically, it was early hours at morning, door handle rattles. I heard him go, Dad. So I got him out of bed, lead him back to his own room. Sorry, just drank coffee. I've got a bit of indigestion. Led him back into his own bed and then good night's sleep. And then he never did it again. And then a couple of weeks later, I woke up paralyzed in bed. I'm like, oh no, you know, because obviously it's an abductee. Sleep paralysis. It's sometimes just sleep paralysis. I have had sleep paralysis before, but that first moment, it's like panic. Is this sleep paralysis or is this an abduction? And then I saw light, bright light under my bedroom door. So I knew, oh no, this is an abduction. And I start panicking. And once I had kids, the panic got a lot worse because I started fearing for my kids. So I see shadows moving in the light. So basically I realized I stood just behind the door and then the door handle rattles and the door doesn't open. It just rattles. And I'm like, what? And then I thought, well, what if it's my son? You know, what, you know, and I'm paralyzed. I can't do anything. What if he falls down the stairs? And I start panicking then. And then I just heard, Dad, can I come in? It was the absolute repeat of exactly what happened last time. I heard the exact same voice, the exact same sentence. And then the paralysis just lifts and I think, oh, thank goodness. So I dive out of bed. I open the door. And there's three greys stood outside the bedroom door. And I just, last thing I remember is one of them pushing a hand up into my face. And then that's it. And then obviously thinking back on that, it's just like, oh, that fooled the greys. So, which is bizarre because like you say, they're super advanced beings. But I think in some ways, I think they are actually quite stupid because it's just, because the solution wasn't there, I didn't think at the time, oh, lift the handle. They didn't know to lift the handle. They just knew this is how door handles work. This door handle isn't working. The door must be locked or something. So then they used the gambit where I feel like they lifted my memory of the previous event with my son and just used that to get me to open the door for them, which... It tells you so much. It tells you that they, as I'm experiencing the event and I'm thinking to myself what's happening, they're watching my thoughts of what's happening and using that to actually, as a strategy, to get me to open the door, which is fascinating on its own. Because it sort of tells you they are brilliant, but they're brilliant in a very different way. They don't seem to have the same problem solving methods. I think they rely so much on the ability to link minds that they don't have to use lateral thinking. They just, it's almost like a person with Google. You know, if you're trying to remember an actor's name, you just Google it. You don't remember it anymore. You don't work that muscle. And I feel like they might have something similar where they just link minds and find solutions that way rather than actually stopping and thinking, hang on, how's this door handle? You know, why is this door handle not working? What if we push it up rather than down? They don't have that thought. They just think, right, the solution, what's the solution? Let's just Google it by linking minds, and basically that's what they did to get me to open the door, which, you know, because it stunned me, but also it made that experience a lot scarier, because, you know, that shock moment of opening the door and seeing these three creatures on the other side, just completely, it was horrifying. But they sedated me very quickly. They were very efficient in once they got to me, but yeah, up till that moment, it was a complete farce.
Was there a time when you kind of woke up and the brown being was in the room and it was like it was having a conversation with someone, and then you realised it was your voice that he was conversing with?
Yeah, that wasn't the brown. That was grey. But I can't remember what shift I was working, but basically what was happening is, I think I was working a late shift. So my wife was going to bed and I would stay up downstairs, and sometimes I'd just fall asleep downstairs. And this is what happened. She'd gone to bed, and I'd watching TV or something, I just fell asleep on my chair. And I remember waking up early hours in the morning and paralyzed, and realizing, oh, this is an abduction, because I could see figures moving around my living room. And I remember sort of blacking out, because the paralysis just seemed to grip me to a certain degree where I blacked out. And then as I came around, I could hear voices, and there was a conversation going on. And then I realized one of the voices was me, which is bizarre. I could hear myself, and I could feel my attention realize, oh, I've woken up. And then tell the greys, I think there was three in the room, he's woken up. And then they left, the paralysis lifted, and I was just, oh my God, who was that? You know, because it was definitely me. I recognize it as being from me, but it's almost like a part of myself that's concealed from the awakening me. It was just, it was completely disturbing. But it wasn't an abduction like an abduction. Literally, it was like the one where he came and messed with my paralysis. It was just they came to the room and then they left, and it was bizarre.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. The book's called mm-hmm. Alien Revelations, and people can get that on Amazon, can't they?
Yeah, I recommend getting the Kindle, because there are some colour images in there, and it is a very long book. So the printing costs are really high. So rather than getting a print copy, I'd recommend getting the Kindle, because you still get all the colour images, and it's a lot cheaper. It's like 10% of the price it would be. But yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. It's been fascinating.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you. It's been great. I've really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you, Simon.
And that was an interview with Michael Allens about his book, Alien Revelations. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon, where you can hear the extended version of this episode. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. If you join the $2 a month tier, you can get an extended episode every month. If you join the $5 a month tier, you'll have access to an extended episode every week. And when you sign up, you get access to the episodes in the back catalogue, and they are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. If you want to try out the extended episodes, you can now get a 7-day free trial, where you'll get access to over 100 episodes in the back catalogue. And please check out my other podcast. It's called Our Paranormal Afterlife, and there are over 300 episodes. My website is pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, and the link is in the show notes. In my work as a clinical hypnotherapist, I take people through past life regression, and I'm offering a free consultation call which can be booked on my website. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening. Was there a point where you heard them say, oh, he can hear you?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was like the realization. I feel like it came from me. I don't know.